Hey everyone, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we're talking the 2002 CGI disaster piece, Treasure Planet. Now, I don't know if anyone saw Treasure Planet, because I certainly didn't. It was part of that whole Atlantis, or whatever, era of Disney history where everything seemed to fall apart. But since, of course, this is coming out the day after Star Wars Day, I thought it'd be appropriate to do a Star Wars knockoff that came out in the midst of the prequels. Anyway, thanks for listening and all you do. Thanks for subscribing and all you do. Please, please, please try reviewing us wherever you are. We haven't gotten a lot of reviews recently and we're falling off some of the charts, so I would appreciate it because I know our numbers are still good, but we want to hear from you. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we watch This Flag Means Death. Oh wait, no, we watched a piece of shit version of Pirates. We watched 2002's Treasure Planet?
Yes, indeed.
God, fuck it.
It's like Treasure Island, but an entire planet.
But in space.
With furries.
Yes. I'm Nick Hoffman, riffer on Cineprov, which is going live, baby. And on panel we've got...
Atlanta author Matthew W. Quinn.
Hello, this is Daniel, contributor to popdose.com, and good lord, I wish Disney would pay me like $1 million to act like a complete piece of shit.
This is like if someone read the Cliff's Notes of Treasure Island, but then they had to be like, but where is the replacement dad? Everything about this is bad, except for... I hate it because it's just the problem we had with Atlantis too. It's a stupid movie, and then there's a joke that made us laugh. This is a stupid, terrible movie, but it does something that Matt and I love, which is reference other things. But it's beautiful. This is a gorgeous. It's a shockingly gorgeous movie.
It's also got a great cast, considering
yes,
a lesser level Disney movie. I mean, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's the main character.
He is.
Laurie Metcalf's his father. David Hyde Pierce is the dog face boy.
Yeah.
Martin Short is in this. Emma Thompson is in this.
Patrick McGoohan.
Do we ever actually hear Jim Hawkins' dad talk? I just thought we saw him like leaving in one scene.
We don't see him. We don't hear him talk.
Oh, by the way, Roger Bumpus, the voice of Squidward, is also in this.
He is. Brian Murray is the dude who plays Long John Silver's character in this.
And I did some looking. That the training montage song and some of the other songs as well, that's a lead to the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, my wife recognized it immediately.
I at first thought it was Sister Hazel.
Sister Hazel's way too optimistic for this music. See, there's princes. Princes who adore you. Oh, no, that's Spin Doctors. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Sister Hazel is which one?
All For Happy. You.
All For You. That was probably... I remember really liking All For You when it came
too.
Out.
I did, too.
Well, I mean, the singer in this movie sounds like Sean Mullins, let's be honest here.
I remember watching... I'm sorry. I can keep singing.
This is going to be a musical podcast. We've done them before.
And we're doing it again.
Yeah, look back on our episode of Top Gun, which I guess we're going to have to re-release when that piece of shit comes out.
Hey, Lana. Lana. And Nikki is completely ignoring me.
And which is what she does.
Indeed.
Danger Zone. I think it was it the three of us plus Jeremy who sang Danger Zone?
Yeah, the credit sequence.
Yeah. No, it was the credits of that episode, too.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We played Rock Band back to back to back to back to back, and I just recorded us singing it. What a piece of garbage.
I blew a note. That's all I remember.
Oh, dude. It was bad. There's nothing worth singing here, though, because Sister Hazel isn't even singing Goo Goo Dolls. The lead singer of Goo Goo Dolls is not even singing a song we've ever heard of. It's such a weird... But that's what...
Wait. Is that who did the music for this movie?
The Goo Goos.
Yeah, the lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls. That whole scene where... Long John Silver is training Jim Hawkins and all this stuff.
Yeah, you
that
never whole, the whole song. Make a man out of you. That
yeah.
One.
Oh, you mean the good song from the better Disney movie?
Which one?
Jeez, you guys really hate this movie, don't you?
Dude, I thought this was the most boring movie I've seen. And it gets everything about it wrong. The thing that bothered me the most about this, and we'll get into the plot here in a second, because, you know, someone may not have seen this. 6 years before, the Muppets nailed it.
Yeah, they should have brought in Tim Curry to voice Long John Silver. That would have been great.
But remember, at this point, Disney owned the Muppets, but was almost embarrassed about that fact. Because they hadn't made a movie inspired, like... Anyway, it's just a shame because the Muppets did what the Muppets do with things. They made it lighthearted, they made it funny, they added songs, and they made it over the top. Disney generally presents a moral, but if it's going to be a musical, it's a musical, and if it's not, it's not. This is the time period where they didn't know whether to make something a musical or not. Everything feels flat-footed, and also... They fuck up the story of Treasure Island.
You know what this is? This is Disney's attempt at doing a kiddie version of Heavy Metal, if you've ever seen that movie.
Kinda. Which is even weirder.
Future episode, right?
Hopefully. Yeah, we want to do a weird alternative animation month. And I promise it will be none of the new DC animated nonsense where, you know, Batgirl's just trying to go down on Batman the whole time.
Ooh, yeah, that was... That was a bad decision in that movie.
The Killing Joke is such a simple story, guys.
Yeah.
You don't have to fuck it up with oral sex. I mean...
Just like Treasure Island is such a simple story, and they fucked it up with robots.
Also, if you have not seen my early reference, HBO Max, This Flag Means Death, it is Taika Waititi and Rhys Darby, and it's very good. It's about Steve Bonnet and Blackbeard, and it's based on real stuff, but it's also... It's got a heart. Who doesn't want heart?
I mean, Mr. Scroop, maybe, except maybe to eat it. We'll get to him later.
Yeah, so long story short, who wants to do it?
I'll do it. I like this movie.
On the planet of Montessori.
Yeah.
All right, so it starts out with young Jim Hawkins reading, when he's supposed to be sleeping, the story of Captain Flint, who looks like a Tyranid from Warhammer 40K. And the loot of 1,000 worlds and how he has stashed it somewhere to people trying to find this loot for forever. And his mom, who looks like his older sister, shows up to tell him to go to bed and they chill for a bit. Cut to 12 years later, Jim Hawkins is a juvenile delinquent, illegally skateboarding and gets arrested. And his mom is running an inn with, well, I call on Twitter, alien Karens complaining about the food. Mm-hmm. And then Billy Bones... who's a turtle with heart problems, shows up. And before he dies, he gives them the map, which is like a hologram sphere thingy. Oh, and then there's this professor who's always hanging around the inn who decides, okay, let's go on a treasure hunt. Never mind, they all got almost got killed 5 minutes before when a bunch of pirates show up and shoot up the inn.
Well, that's a also... Like, he's not a character from the book. There's, like, two kind of characters that are, he's combined to be.
Yeah, there's... Is he a combination of Squirrel Tarani and Dr. Levisi or whatever
that name exactly.
Is?
Because
I'm wondering, how does an academic afford to outfit a treasure-hunting expedition?
Well, but that's why he doesn't make any sense. Because before, like, Dr. Livesley is there because he has, like, this kind of thirst for adventure, so to speak. But he's also a doctor on a ship. And back in the 19th century, not having a doctor on the ship means everyone's dead yesterday. And then Squire Trelawney is, like, literally a squire, which just means he's someone that receives urine, like, on him, I guess. But, like, he's literally... I almost made my own joke. He's a peon.
Now, I don't hate the idea of this movie. Like... adapting Treasure Island with a sci-fi setting and space pirates.
I just hated the ship design when I saw the previews for this, and I was in high school. Oh, they should have had solar sails are a real thing. These do not look like any of this at all.
Well,
it's like a sideways parachute.
I just don't know why they did what they did. Any like literally any decision they made, like this is 2002. It's the same year Firefly came out. Like, is this supposed to be, like, a Firefly-esque situation with a bunch of... Nope, it's not that.
Nope.
1990, there's a version of this that's live-action with Christian Bale. That's the book. The Muppet Treasure Island version is the silly version. So what is this? This is nothing.
Orson Welles, I think, was in a version back in the 70s, wasn't he?
Dude, there's 50 versions of this movie. How they screwed this up is beyond me. I'm sure there's even a Disney version from the 60s where there's a jaunty tune a sung. Like, I know you want to take stories and change them. Like, we talked about this end with Kelly when we did Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Where he becomes a linebacker and he says, "No, Rudy, you're too small." And he's like, "But Quasimodo, it's the last game of the season."
That's why you pronounce it Notre Dame.
Exactly. See, you got it. But the thing about that is, it's a 1,000-page book. They simplify it. They sexify up what's-her-name, Esmeralda, a bit. And you have a movie. This, they start from, like... But what if instead of watching Jar Jar Binks be an asshole, we make a cyborg version of Long John Silver?
I actually liked how they did Long John Silver in this one. Not the cyborg part, but the way he treats Jim, where he's clearly affectionate for the boy, but also knows if he lets him go, then all of his conspirators are going to kill him.
We'll see. Well, that I wish they played up more.
Yeah. Honestly, the whole training montage scene and Jim crying, all we need is that scene from the campaign where Zach Galifianakis is telling Will Ferrell's son, you know, I can be your dad.
Kinda.
Yeah?
There's nothing here. So as Matt said, the opening is him, I guess, reading the script and being like, oh boy, I can't wait to be in this movie one day. Smash cut, he's an asshole running from the law.
It's literally the opening that they did for the new Star Trek reboot.
I was going to say the same thing. Where Jim Kirk steals his dad's car and he's listening to the Beasties.
Yes.
But this came out first, so you're saying the new Star Trek ripped off Treasure Planet?
I think a lot of those... Because this movie has a lot of good ideas that go nowhere. For those of you who don't remember Disremembered, this screams of all the latter-day Eisner mistakes.
This was a dream project that the guy who directed Hercules wanted to make, and his deal was basically, okay, I'll make Hercules, but I'm making this next, and they let him do it after Hercules was successful, and did this movie bomb.
And it's funny because I want to say they gave him no support, but at the time, this was the most expensive animated film that had ever been made. Even after all of its re-releases, all of its publication, it still is losing money today. It cost $150 million in 2002 movies, making it, I believe, the most expensive movie to come out that year. And after international, national, domestic, and the first rounds of video rentals, it only made $110 back. This is a real Disney kick out the board situation.
Because, you know, they were spending $30 million and made $200 million back in the early 90s.
Let's not forget advertisement, because I'm sure there was, like, toys for this. I remember McDonald's toys for this. Positive.
Didn't they have a long-running contract with Disney at one point?
Well, there was going to be a sequel, because I read about, like, they brought in somebody to do lines, and then 30 minutes before they started recording, they're like, yeah, no.
It didn't even come close to winning its money back, even internationally. And this is a time when Disney could do almost no wrong. Even that terrible Atlantis movie, which we mentioned we kind of liked in the end.
I liked it.
I thought it was fine. It's like a 3 out of 5.
So what about this movie do you like, Matt?
Well, it looks good, as we discussed.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous.
Oh, I mean, the concept is good. It's fine. It's entertaining. Some of the sailboats in space thing I thought was so stupid.
I just feel like nothing happens. It's like the pacing of it's weird. Like it's like, well, Strongjawed guy is going to matter. He dies without any fanfare. Cat lady, she's fine. Oh my God, a lady captain. Thank God there's another woman in this movie of 40 guys. Then she amounts to almost... literally nothing.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering. Her arm is injured. Why can't she walk?
She reminds me a lot of the 13th Doctor. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, but that's fine.
Good or bad? Like, is that good or bad?
I think it's good.
It's fine. It's indifferent. But give her something to do then. She just says, I'm the captain. Oh no, bad things are happening. Give her any agency. Otherwise, she's practically, I forget who coined the term, but she's a woman in the fridge. She's injured. She just sticks around. It's sad. It's indifferent. There's just no character development. And then, like you said, the only interesting thing is that Long John Silver starts showing affection to Jim, which kind of matters, I guess. But That's the only character development, really, other than that it looks like Dr. Dribble, or whatever his name is going to get laid once.
Dr. Drooper, I believe his name was.
Droopy Dog.
Dr. Droopy Dog. He's also a lot taller.
Professor Droops.
Doppler is actually Doppler. His name.
Doppler, okay, fine. So smash cut to this hobbit hole. Aragorn's in the corner, and they're all
Drupagon,
and a bunch of little hobbits show up.
Alien hobbits.
Oh, God, they could eat bugs. Imagine.
So they're slightly less creepy than regular hobbits.
Check out my book, Little People, Big Guns.
If you want to see some horrible things about little people, I guess.
Yeah. Do you remember that scene in Total Recall with the dwarf prostitute and the machine gun?
Yes.
Imagine 250 pages of that.
Exactly. Anyway, so from there, you have this situation where, you know, Mama Hawkins is running around doing her normal everyday stuff. People complaining about the food because people suck and they don't know what it's like to be on a waitstaff. But a frog child steals some of the professor's dog food. Literally, it's just a bowl of dog food that he's eating with a spoon. And then Hawkins shows up after being arrested by the Poe. Who's robotic and doesn't matter.
And he has to, like, cite the law because they forget the law at one point.
That's right. This movie clearly saw the Iron Giant because all the animation style looks like Iron Giant.
Yeah.
The animation looks good. I like that.
I mean, because Iron it looks Giant like Iron Giant.
Yeah, Iron Giant looked good.
At least it doesn't have a guy named Hogarth in it.
Who?
Isn't that the name of the protagonist character in Iron Giant is Hogarth?
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell kind of name is Hogarth?
His name?
I love Iron Giant. What kind of name
is Billy Bones?
Yeah. A nickname?
A musical. Anyway, so Jim Hawkins is a criminal, and he's a loser. And then all of a sudden, a corpsicle strolls in the form of a turtleman, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Turtleman is Billy Bones, and he's gasping and warning people about the cyborg.
And they have a tie-in with, like, his mom talking about how he's a sweet little kid who always brought home pets. Suddenly the door opens. He's dragging in a dying turtle man.
Who had, like, moments before crash-landed.
I'm kind of wanting that to be the plot. Mom, can we keep this drunk turtle man?
Who's rapidly dying. I would love
him and feed him and call him George.
And, like, very quickly, the movie gets going. It's like half an hour before we're in space.
I thought it was shorter than that. I thought they were sailing with Cat Chick in about 15 minutes.
No, it's a little longer.
It's longer than that. But, because at this point, he warns them of the cyborg. And my daughter gets interested because she likes Teen Titans Go. And I'm like, no, it's not that cyborg. She goes, okay. And then she goes back to ignoring this movie completely.
Can you imagine the cyborg in this movie?
Booyah! Like, better movie if it was just cyborg.
Some kind of cyborg on cyborg death match with Long John Silver.
Why not?
We get literally no information on why he's a cyborg. He's the only cyborg in this movie.
Well, he gives a kind of a sad hint about what it costs to chase a dream.
Yes, that's true.
He dreamed a dream of dreams gone by.
And then fell into a blender.
Okay, so Springfield Elementary School was trying to serve him as a sloppy Joe. That's what's going on, but he escaped.
But it's like without Long John arm. Silver had a hook, but how do we make it spacey? What if he was half-robed?
Again, the design looks great.
It looks fine. It reminds me a lot of, if you've ever seen the Disney movie Oliver and Company, where everything's kind of gross. Like, he's lumpy and weird and like sweaty and...
Yeah, is he an alien or just an ugly human?
We don't know.
Excuse me, Nick. I am just as God made me, sir.
Sure. I will also say, too, the thing I think that looks the most beautiful is the computer animated space stuff. I think that's what we're talking about.
You like that? I thought it was bad.
I like the ship.
I thought the ship looked good, too.
I mean, the CGI is so obviously CGI. I'm like,
Wait, you said the animation was beautiful. What are you talking about?
The hand-drawn stuff. I like that stuff.
Long John Silver's look.
Yeah, all the hand-drawn stuff. I like that style better than the 3D Pixar stuff.
See, I like the stuff where he's on the skyboard, where he's, like, flying through space on a skyboard.
That's CGI?
100%.
Maybe... Maybe it's when they use CGI, because I think some of the planetary backgrounds are are hand-drawn CGI hybrids. Like they,
well, like the Jupiter stuff and the black hole stuff. That's all CGI.
I was thinking like the I was thinking the green planet.
That's all CGI.
That looks good, but like some of the space whales, they look really rendered.
The space whales are composite shots. I believe they are animated, and the ship is like everything else is computer animated, but it's layered funny. I agree with you that looks awkward, but the space whales are actually the hand drawn part.
Plus, I think they combine hand drawn animation and 3D animation pretty well.
For the most part.
Like the background of the planet, the green planet, when they land, looks like it's they use CGI to augment hand drawings. I liked that.
That was computer, that's right.
So here's the biggest tragedy of this movie. They put all this money into great animation, be it the character design or the computer-generated backgrounds, and what do they use it on? An alien that can only communicate through farts.
Oh yeah, the fart monster. 5-year-olds must have thought that was hilarious.
That was them saying we need jokes and there's no jokes. That's all that screams.
Well, same with that one Morph, was it called, right?
Morph is a nightmare.
The little squid pet thing.
But I mean, you asked me why I didn't like this version of Treasure Island. It's that. Pick something. Muppets did it with real pirate characters, and you can make jokes. Why do you have to have this plot device floating around? That's all he is. He's a plot device. Well, it's stupid as shit.
There's one word for why merchandising.
How do you merchandise a fart?
Maybe a little jellyfish plushie?
This movie was a bomb. Disney can take a bomb and turn it into something. There's no action figures for this because nothing worked. I'm sorry.
There could have been action figures, like a Long John Silver action figure or Mr. Scroop, you know, as a scorpion monster.
There could have been, but there really weren't.
Yeah, like
missed opportunity, I suppose.
Treasure Planet Toys. Let's see what comes up. Thank you, Etsy. No, not Etsy. eBay. There's a Jim Hawkins. There is a GAC-based version of Morphle, or whatever his name is.
Oh, you're kidding me.
And then everything else is Disney toys. It's all Disney. Disney's the only one who made toys for this. And they're not selling.
Which characters did they
do? Long John Silver, the captain, the professor, Jim Hawkins. There's a Morph, and literally he's just one of those squoosh.
I figured they'd do. It's the obvious thing.
There's a Ben robot. We haven't even got to Ben.
Fucking God, Ben.
Ben
who
is awful.
Should have been Robin Williams.
It probably
should have not been in the story.
But Ben Gunn is from the book.
Yeah, I know that, but there's a reason a lot of adaptations cut him out, or at least minimize him being in there. I mean, Muppet Treasure Island, there wasn't a Ben Gunn.
Yeah, that was Ben. That's going to turn him into Miss Piggy. Benjamina Gunn.
Better decision.
You make a joke then.
Make him a her as a love interest for Jim, because the only one who's getting any dates in this movie is the professor and the captain.
Who's smarty?
I mean, but I don't know why they need to be laid. But if we've got to get people laid, that's the way to do it.
Well, the professor, you know, mans up. You know, like he's the one who pulls the gun out and like. And she's like, did you mean to do that? He's like, well, yes, I did.
There's no chemistry between these two characters. I mean, David Hyde Pierce is a great actor, but he's obviously openly gay.
He's 100%.
I thought he might have been hitting on the mom.
This
middle-aged dude is always hanging around the bar run by the harried single mom.
He just can't play those characters very well. He's very good at playing characters like Niles, and I'm forgetting the name of the movie, but it's that creepy one where he invites someone over for a dinner party, and then he's off his he's out of his mind or something.
So
I think it was.
I will place this slightly. I was wrong. This is not when Robin Williams had already made up with Disney by this point. He had done the third Disney movie because he comes back for King of Thieves. But this is in the midst of him doing three robotic person movies. 1999, Bicentennial Man. 2001, Artificial Intelligence. And 2005's Robots.
Let's be fair, though. Artificial Intelligence really wasn't a Robin Williams movie. He's in all of one scene.
Well, right. He plays Dr. No. But still, although in 2002, he does 1 Hour Photo, Insomnia, and Death to Smoochie.
Wow.
Is Death to Smoochie okay? I like that movie.
I remember really liking it when I was younger.
I saw parts of it and thought it was good. Is that a Stay Tuned?
I remember Ebert hating that movie. I mean, it's a comedy, so...
It was a very dark, cynical comedy.
It's the sequel to Mrs. Doubtfire. It's also an even bigger loser than this one. Because it cost $50 million to make. It only made $8.3 back.
Ooh.
Although I think I own it. I like this movie.
Matthew
a lot.
Broderick is a singing rhino at a methadone clinic.
Not Matthew Broderick. It's
Ed Norton.
Ed Norton.
Oh, it looked like Matthew Broderick.
No, it's Ed Norton.
Catherine Kinnear is in the movie.
Jon Stewart tragically is in this movie.
Yes,
he's one of the worst actors. I love Jon Stewart. Not a good actor. Danny DeVito's in this. That's why I'm saying like it.
Oh, could you imagine Danny DeVito as Ben in this movie?
That'd have been good. A little pervert.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that cat lady. It's on her.
The way that they portray Ben Gunn in this movie is just as the most annoying prick ever. He's
he's better or worse than Batty?
Ooh. Oh boy, that is a real Sophie's choice right there. Oh boy.
No. I think he's worse.
I'm gonna say he's better only because he didn't rap.
Yeah, no, the rap is bad, but like that movie.
The name is Benny. The robot is brain damaged. Are you going to kill me yet?
Yes, Matt. As a matter of fact, I am.
I mean, do you want that? Is that why you're doing this to us?
The episode in which Matt went full Joker.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah. Really, he actually sewed a cell phone into the stomach of one of the panelists in that episode.
So, okay, I want you to look at the entire movie. Entire movie. And McDonald's chose six of them to make into McDonald's characters. I want you to guess what they were. And Morph is, or seven. Morph is one. I already told you Morph was one.
Okay, Morph is one. The Captain Smollett stand-in, which is the cat lady. Thompson voice.
People. Yeah.
Putting out the fire with gasoline. Anyway.
Right. That's one.
Obviously, Long John Silver is going to be one of them. Jim Hawkins is going to be one of them. I think we're up to four now overall. Mm-hmm. Ben's probably one of them. And good lord, who would the fifth be? Yeah. It wouldn't be David Hyde Pierce's character, would it?
Would it be Scruple? I mean, he's scary looking.
Scruple would have been a good choice, but he's not. The professor is, but they didn't bother to even give him his glasses. And he has a medallion around his neck. Nope. The last one should have been Scruple. I agree. It's the first mate.
Do you think that's a Spaceballs joke?
The Rockman?
The Rockman.
Do you think that's a Spaceballs joke? President Scroob, Mr. Scroob?
Scruple is an interesting guy. He's a character I want more of. I also want any of the other crew to have characteristics other than...
I want to know how they all came together.
Well, Scruple is supposed to be Israel Hand from the book.
That's why I like him. But there's also a whole bunch of other crewmen who have no lines.
Well, I figured they're muscle that Long John Silver recruited.
You're okay. Right. How did he do that? Because why?
Off screen, maybe?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Show, don't tell. This is the interesting part of your movie. The interesting part of your movie is Long John Silver is an adorable cook, but is actually trying to overthrow the ship. Fine. So we need to know about the people who are overthrowing the ship, other than the one clearly bad guy. Sorry, Long John Silver is the actual bad guy in the story. He might fall in love with being a dad ideal, but he's still the bad guy. He redeems himself at the end in this version, which he doesn't in any other version.
They still let him live in every other version, don't
well,
they?
Well, they let him get away.
Right.
Which is kind of what they do. Well, they start to do here, but then he just is fine. But, like, if you imagine the end of any version of Treasure Island, it's him in a rowboat rowing off into the distance.
Right.
That's how these movies end. But you also establish more of the crew. We established six people of 30 on this ship. And then there's a walking fart cloud.
And there's also Mr. Arrow, who gets killed by Scroop.
Yes.
At one point.
Arrow gets killed very early, about halfway through this movie, by falling into a black hole.
Which is something.
Yeah, I kept wondering, what would Neil deGrasse Tyson think of this movie?
Neil deGrasse Tyson watches this when he's feeling naughty. Oh, the physics are so wrong. I'm going to text someone I used to teach. He's been canceled.
Oh, has he?
He's a greaseball. Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, long story short, this movie gets real confusing near the end. So, Matt, this is not me calling out you. I just want you to talk. Pick a scene to talk about, because otherwise it's just Treasure Island. They show up at a spaceport, they go to space, and they look for a treasure.
Well, I liked I liked how Jim figured out that Long John Silver was bad, and then he just straight up shivs him, and then he has to trigger the mutiny early, and it turns to a gunfight, and they have to abandon the ship, and then the pirates start chasing after them on the planet.
Stop. Let's talk about what the hell you're talking about. So, essentially, when we get to this port city of the Crescent Moon, they figure out a ship in something we have no idea how this is all worked out. We have no idea how any of this happens. All that. Jim is on the ship. The professor goes along. The mom is written out of this movie effectively. But somehow, despite the fact that this is kind of their voyage and their map, he's a crewman.
Yeah, Jim gets reduced to being a cabin boy.
None of that makes sense to me.
Maybe they were running. Maybe money was running low.
Well, we don't know. We don't even know if they paid. We have no idea how any of this works.
I think it's hinted. I think they did say that the professor arranged for it, although how he paid for it, I have no idea.
But how do you pay for something with... And you have the treasure map, and you have no benefits because of that. That makes no sense to me.
You're
defending a movie for no reason. So you don't have to defend this bad movie.
It's not a bad movie. I liked it.
Okay.
There's stuff that doesn't make sense, but that doesn't mean it's bad.
Okay, so the initial plot device is this MacGuffin, this treasure map, which when Jim kind of Rubik's cubes, shows a giant, again, good-looking 3D map, and they fly through space, and we have a physics professor who's like, well, that's this, and that's this, and that's literally an X-shaped planet. It's a planet with two crossing rings.
Scenes like that were great, where they were trying to establish this universe. I mean, that's the sort of stuff you need to stir the imagination if you're going to redo Treasure Island. It needs to be unique. So that was great.
Well, and I mean, again, the original Treasure Island plot is also squishy here. But that's where I need my Disney magic. I need my Disney magic because, like, he's figures out a ship that's going that direction. And he has the map to himself. And one night in the cabin, the professor's doing rounds, or the captain's doing rounds, let's say, sees the map and says, you need to come with me. But meanwhile, in this version, she knows about the map the whole time. She's like, that better go in my safe. And Rockman's like, yeah. And then Rockman's like, apparently I have a ticking clock above my head. I'm mad this whole time.
Rockman, again, is the guy who dies in the supernova.
He also looks like a Muppets character, because they have giant rock dudes that just walk around.
Yeah? Well, he kind of looks like, what was the character from Never
the guy
Story?
From Thor, the guy from Thor. The Thor 3, the rock dude.
Oh, the Taika Waititi character.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, all right, well, so I'm just a rock. Rockman. anyway, they finally get going, and we have the thing that bothered Matt the most. The fact that these are just ships in space.
Yeah, galleons, old school galleons flying through space.
I didn't mind that image.
It's not bad, but like they explain so much, they just don't explain anything. Like, at what point do you run out of air? Because sometimes it seems like you can float quite a far way and still breathe. Other times, you just fall into a black hole, like our poor buddy Rockman.
No, he didn't just fall in. They just got straight up chucked in it.
Well, either way, Nick's right. They're kind of inconsistent with how the ship works. Obviously, there's anti-gravity on the ship because it's that one scene where Jim's trying to struggle for the gun to get Mr. Scroop, to shoot Mr. Scroop, and then the anti-grav turns off, so they're both floating.
We both reach for the gun. I also like...
And he gets chucked and chucked and chucked into space, because it's a karmic retribution.
Well, how's it karma for him?
Because he killed Arrow in the same way, so Jim chucking him into space.
Oh, I thought we were still talking about Arrow. I apologize. I also like how in this not too distant future, way out in space, they still have the high-tech science of rope.
Tie the ropes to make sure nobody falls off.
And like in that montage where Matt was talking about where they fall in love or whatever, one of the things they're doing is practicing knot tricks. Like, I mean, I'm an Eagle Scout. I know a lot of knots. But like, you'd think in a spaceship you'd have a carabiner and something. But they're like, oh no, I swear I tied the knot. Who gives a shit? We're in space. There should be anything else. We have solar sails and magic nonsense. Also a MacGuffin that looks like a laser show. How do we not have anything other than ropes?
Ropes that can be very easily sliced.
But by an evil crab monster.
By Mr. Krabs. Mr. Krabs, sir. Never.
Well, that's why he was on the ship, because there was a lot of money at stake.
Me money! Who's the guy who does the actual voice?
Clancy Brown.
Clancy. I love Clancy Brown.
There can only be one burger joint at Bikini Bottom.
You know what? It's
Highlander!
That show came out when we were in high school. Well, and I was in high school. Matt and I were in high school.
Yeah. It was 1999, so...
You were in elementary?
I was probably 11, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So when we were in high school... God, my high school girlfriend loved that show. But, like, if in almost 23 years they haven't made a Highlander joke, I consider it a lost opportunity. Clancy Brown. I mean, first of all, SpongeBob is a very funny show. I'm 36. How old am I? 36.
I don't know.
I'll admit that. But, yeah, no. Clancy Brown would have livened up this cast. He could have. Holy shit. This is 2002.
He could have been a good Long John Silver.
Add a little gravitas. I have nothing wrong with the voice of this Long John Silver other than I don't think they have him emote enough. But, like, that's more of a direction thing than the actor thing. I thought the actor does fine in this. But yeah, a little Clancy Brown swinging around that accent a little would have been fun.
Medic! So Clancy Brown is Irish now, is that what you're saying?
Well, what? Mr. Krabs kind of has a weird accent.
Yeah, he kind of. Well, I mean, he's got a pirate accent, is what he's got.
That's right. Okay, so the scene I was talking about is a black hole scene. They're at a black hole, and because he's an astrophysicist, he knows how waves come out of the black hole. So the professor's like, duck!
Oh yeah, this is a tsunami scene in space.
Yeah, they do evasive action. I initially, what are you evading? A supernova's explosion, but I guess if there's a planet system that gets shredded in the process, because they're shooting down something with the ship's cannon, like oncoming debris, and then they surf it.
Yeah, which we've alluded to twice. It's like, what if Chekhov kept dropping guns?
Isn't this also where we get the Star Trek reference, like the real explicit one?
It's later. That's on later. When, okay. After the mutiny.
Which is one of my favorite scenes in this movie. I texted this to half the people I knew. I recorded this scene. So eventually they get to Treasure Planet, but at that point...
Randomly. They never explain how they just randomly find this planet. It just happens to be Treasure Planet.
They crash land into the third act.
This is after the mutiny where Long John Silver seizes the ship.
But literally moments after the mutiny.
The mutiny scene I liked. Like, it's... like.
Jim stabs
Long John Silver. Long John Silver has to attack now. It turns into a gunfight.
Let's go back. Long John Silver, everyone's favorite cartoon, Morph, tricks Jim into the basement one morning. And he's hiding in this barrel of what looks like purple lemons.
Mm-hmm. Plum-looking things.
Yeah, and that's when he overhears what Long John Silver is trying to do, right? And that's when he realizes what everyone else on the entire... well.
He overhears some of the mooks. I think Scroob is talking about killing everyone.
That's right. And Long John Silver said, I told you you could kill people, but you have to wait. And waiting is the hardest part. And so after they leave, Long John Silver hears Jim kind of around. And that's when he gets stabbed in the leg gasket.
Yes, exactly. It's the robot leg he gets stabbed with.
Yeah, Scroop, I'm pretty sure...
Excuse me, he doesn't get stabbed with his own leg, Jesus.
Yeah, he's getting some Saw territory here. Jim just rips his leg off, starts beating him with it.
Ooh. Better movie? I'd love to see that scene.
About the same.
They get to the surface and they bolt themselves in the captain's quarters.
Yep.
At this point, of course, first mate is dead, being sucked into the he's sucked out of movie town.
The champagne supernova is what he's sucked into
in the sky. And they all have a gun. The professor accidentally misfires, and there's a sexual joke there. It never happens to me.
Sure it doesn't, professor.
And then the ship is very quickly overthrown because they're terrible. They go to the life ship, the lifeboat, which also has a shield, apparently, which we don't ever get explained.
Well, I think in the training montage scene, Long John and Jim take it out and play with it. So.
Well, they do, and he does some... acrobatics. He does some hot dogging, which freaks Long John Silver out a bit, right? But they have the ship. He gets down below. He thinks he has this Pokeball that tells him the future. But it turns out to be Morpho later on. We'll get there.
And meanwhile, Long John has a chance to shoot Jim, and he can't do it. He's like,
But Scroob does.
Well,
Scroob hits him with a cannon.
Well, Scroob had brought that up before because he's like, "You're getting soft, aren't you?" And Long John has to beat him into submission.
But as they escape, we have a scene that is actually incredibly reminiscent, at least in my head, of Return of the Jedi, where you have the big ship and the people on the little ship, and people are using cannons on the little ships. Whatever. They're speeding desperately towards Treasure Planet, and they crash on the planet's surface.
And it says they're speeding toward it, where we get your line, right? Damn it, Jim! I'm an astrophysicist, not a doctor.
But so they crash. I am a doctor, but not that kind of. Yeah. I have this whole discussion.
They crash land on the planet, and the Catwoman, Dr. Smollett, Captain Smollett, is wounded. And he goes, "Isn't there something you can do?" And he goes, "Damn it, Jim! I'm a doctor." But not that kind of doctor. I'm a PhD. We don't really help people. And that's what I sent to everyone.
And meanwhile, she's like, "Oh, just give me a spot of tea. I'll be fine."
And she tries to stand and immediately collapses into him. And then you realize that this might be the first time we've ever seen David Hyde Pierce get laid.
On camera, anyway.
Oh, rather.
Maris?
If he started calling her Maris halfway through, ooh.
I mean, they have a baby at the end of this movie.
Four of them. Yes, they have a litter, as Matt put it in our text messages.
Yeah, follow me on @MatthewWQuinn. You can tell what movies you're going to record soon because I'll live tweet them.
He does.
It is pretty amusing, I'm not going to lie.
I also love... He does a hybrid of live tweeting what's happening and his reaction, which is great. There's no jokes. It's just straightforward his reaction. It's one of the best ways to live tweet. You can almost start it at the same timestamp as him and then check every timestamp along after that and follow on what's going. It's really good. He's the only one of us who has any idea how social networking works. So, keep it up. At this point, we crash land into joke-em-ups. Like, I don't know how to put this. Ben shows up.
Oh boy!
He was one of Captain Flint's crew who got they removed his memory and ditched him.
Yeah, he's based on, I believe, Ben Gunn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hence Ben. I forget what it's an acronym for, but
yeah, they give us something.
Blasted. What's something that starts with E for annoying?
Enoying. Anyway, so half of his brain is missing. So whenever Jim, played by JGL, starts talking to him, he starts the story, then gets distracted, then restarts.
Yeah.
That's his character type.
Well, hugging people.
Kind of, yeah.
What is it with Disney and annoying characters who like hugs? Mm. It's this guy and then it's Olaf. What the hell's going on?
I think it's them trying to tell kids not to touch the character actors.
Oh.
The ones that walk around the park?
That's, if that's the case and they're succeeding.
I
would never want to touch Ben.
Probably. Can you imagine if you went to Epcot and there was a Ben robot walking around? Like, it's so funny because, like, obviously this movie was a huge disaster, but, like, the other side of it is, who of these characters could be walking around Epcot? Right?
Probably.
Morph could be a little floating automaton. I mean, like, Captain Smollett is the only one that I think has an interesting design, like, truly interesting design. Otherwise, it's just like, go to MGM Studios, or now it's Hollywood Studios. Go to Hollywood Studios for this Treasure Planet spectacular. It's just like stunt show nonsense.
Yeah, Long John Silver, maybe, except he's kind of ugly.
Well, then he's not going to be a character walking around Disney theme parks.
But that's just it. Like, I don't know who's supposed to be, like... Anyway, we're not there. All of this stuff lost to Galaxy's Edge, didn't it?
I know they turned the Norway ride into Frozen.
Well, I just mean, like, if you wanted a space adventure thing, it could have been this.
But now,
by this point, they were working on buying out Star Wars, so now this will never appear anywhere. That's my point.
Basically.
Like, I bet you if you stay at that $12,000 a night hotel or whatever it is, some nonsense, that occasionally if you watch the spaceships go by, there's one weird galleon that floats by, and everyone's like, ah! Well, that was worth the extra $6,000 we paid for a captain's suite on this.
I can't.
Would it have a Kirk's chair in there? Because if so, then the $12,000 might be worth it.
Could you imagine?
Captain's log. Stardate.
I mean, I get it. Only Universal and Disney are stupid enough to have a theme park. I mean, I love Disney World and I love Universal. I'm not saying anything bad about them. But I always wish there was like a Hulu park with everyone else. You know, like
they're gonna have like a Hunger Games theme park out in like West Georgia somewhere that went near.
Well, I heard about this. It was just gonna be a giant like arena where they let a bunch of kids alone with guns. They called it the Hunger Games. It didn't work out.
I'm pretty sure that already exists. It's in an alley if you know the right people.
When you're a jet. Oh no. But I just
because like dance.
There was. At one point, there was a casino shaped like the Enterprise in Vegas.
Yes, there was.
I don't think it's there anymore, but like, how is there not like just a theme park based around like Paramount project? Like,
there was. It was called Carowinds back in the day. It was on the North-South Carolina border, and it used to be all a whole bunch of Paramount theme stuff. So they had a Star Trek roller coaster. Again, I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina, so I was at Carowinds quite a few times.
I'm sure. That sounds kind of cool.
I mean, Walt Disney is someone not only long dead, but like there's just not people like him anymore. It's like a big idea kind of person.
Not Spielberg?
But, I mean, I mean theme park stuff. Like, there are not a lot of people with that mindset, and that's why Universal is kind of interesting. But, like, I just wish there was more immersion. I like walking into Galaxy's Edge and seeing shit. This screams to me something that was tailor-made to make theme park stuff, but they didn't think about the other part, right? Like, it's the opposite of Encanto, where they didn't think it would go anywhere, but at least they made a good movie, and people are like, hey, this movie is kind of good, and now they can kind of back it in. This screams to me, oh, this could be a ride, this could be a ride, this could be a ride, but they didn't work on making the movie cohesive enough to draw crowds. And it didn't. That's what bothers me about this. This seems like the worst kind of corporate nonsense of Disney. Because I bet you if you looked at it on Rotten Tomatoes, this has like a 70%.
Yeah.
Which is not bad. It's not great. It's fine. But that's what corporate version of filmmaking is. You need one nut job at least to be like, you know, we could make this a fart joke. Oh, wait, they did that. That doesn't carry through. Fart guy disappears. Where was Fart guy in that final fight scene? Does he die on the planet?
You know what? Yes.
I'd like to think Fart guy made it.
And then I'd rather Fart guy have died on the planet.
And then he's the one guy that they sell to make a Taco Bell toy.
Oh boy.
Squeeze him and he farts.
After getting 17 Doritos Locos Tacos, I like a Mountain Dew with an extra adjective in front. Maybe it's extreme. Maybe it's outrageous. Maybe it's total blue. One way or another, I know I'm not going to have a regular bowel movement for a week and a half. Taco Bell, we obstruct things.
The pay us, Taco Bell. That's all I can say.
First of all, so anyone up for Taco Bell after all? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, the chalupas, man. They are pretty good.
How about the gorditas?
The fat kids?
Viva gorditas.
They brought back the Taco Bell pizza this week.
They did?
As recording, yeah.
Oh my god. Why am I even recording? I'm
going to
go.
Yeah, Taco Bell, we're,
your door slam.
Pimping this hard. Give us some money.
Today in class, because we're talking about it, I showed Anthony Bourdain talking about Waffle House.
Ah.
We're having your own creative nonfiction writing as a section. And I was just like, this man, I miss Anthony Bourdain talking about fast food. He said this. It's better than French Laundry. I believe him. He's right. Okay, final act of this movie. They get to the planet. There's a bunch of grab ass. They're trying to get to their treasure.
There's a booby trap with the treasure. So when they actually get there after that Jaws joke from Ben, which, fuck you, Ben.
Yeah, fuck you, Ben.
We're going to need a bigger boat. And what the MacGuffin does, they get to this like cliffside. And in the cliffside, you have to put in the Pokeball, and then you get Mewtwo or whatever happens.
And it basically starts opening stargates.
Yeah, you can travel to basically anywhere in the galaxy.
And Jim very quickly realizes we have to find the interior of the planet because it's buried treasure.
But, yeah, and it turns out the planet is actually some kind of giant machine.
Yeah, which because he stole the... quote, treasure of a thousand civilizations, right?
The loot of a thousand worlds.
The loot of a thousand worlds.
Wait, Matt. Are you telling me that this place isn't a moon?
That's a good one.
A classic.
So in the heart of Amazon, there's $1 trillion. We go inside the planet, thanks to this porthole. It's a porthole in space.
Yeah.
And we end up with a combination of the Cave of Wonders and Goonies.
And this, to me, though, Matt, is where the CGI looks the worst. Because it's like a pile of treasure coins and damage. Like, this, though, to me, feels like we're on, you said, the Cave of Wonders. You're right. But this looks like the CGI animated Cave of Wonders ride.
And Captain Flint's corpse is enthroned like it's Peg Leg Pete or whatever, or Blind Willie or whatever hell's name is in Goonies.
Right. And
One-Eyed Willie? Yeah, One-Eyed Willie.
And he's sitting, which is a penis joke.
Is it now?
One-Eyed Willie?
I didn't pick up on that. I've learned so much when I'm with you, Nick.
The subtle quote from Rudy or whatever his name is. Samwise Gamgee?
It's One-Eyed Rudy? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's sitting on this giant throne covered in gold coins. And I think it's Ben who trips a laser beam because he's an idiot.
Well, they plug the missing half of Ben's head back into him, and that's when he realizes, oh yeah, this place is booby-trapped. And I think it was Long John Silver who actually triggered it.
Maybe. They're all walking in and they trigger some kind of laser.
Right, and then the planet starts combusting on itself.
What? So Flint, in addition to being a pirate and just being greedy and violent, he wants to create a giant booby trap to kill everyone who tries to steal his gold after he's dead?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, but like, unfortunately, the part you just pointed at is part of Treasure Island. Like, that's the closest it gets, kind of, at the end of this. It does remind me, again, I'm watching Our Flag Means Death, or this flag means death, the flag, whatever. But it goes, but why would you bury your treasure? Why don't you just spend it?
Which is what pirates actually did.
Well, I thought the point is you buried it so you could come raid it for new spending money every so often.
Kind of, but also, like, this is the treasure of a thousand worlds.
You can quit it.
Pirates really didn't bury treasure. They spent it on medicine, on food, on a lot of booze.
Well, and there's also 30 people on the ship. You split it. For those of you interested, I think I mentioned this on the movie when we did it 1,000 years ago. But read Villains of All Nations. Mm-hmm. But he gets into this. But, like, the second a pirate captain doesn't want more treasure, they got rid of him. The second the quartermaster is corrupt and held on to too much money, they got rid of him. Because there's 40 people with guns and swords on the ship, and you only keep respect as long as you earn it. And so this idea is like, don't worry, guys. I got this treasure, and I'm going to protect it until I'm a corpse. You guys, I got a booby trap. It'll be there for you. And you're just like,
okay.
That might explain why he's dead.
Yeah, but no one else got the treasure, and no one else triggered the booby traps. So we assume that they just left,
I guess.
Except for Ben, who they took his brain away, which is, that's some sort of, like,
it's what Disney
Joe Kennedy-esque cruelty there.
It's what Disney did to Martin Short for this movie.
That's right.
Anyway, so at the end of this, Long John Silver chooses to save Jim instead of grabbing treasure.
And he's like, it's just a lifelong obsession. I'll get over it. I thought that was hilarious.
That was a funny line. I'm with you there. That was funny because, like, literally, God, I'm trying to think of what it even reminds me of. But, like, all the treasure gets sucked into a black hole and disappears. And he goes, it's just a lifelong obsession. I'll get over it. And if this was a PG instead of a G-rated movie, there's a bottle somewhere that he's just crawled into.
Yeah.
Because, but that's the Jack Sparrow joke they literally start with. But regardless.
He did save man to get some of it because he gave some of it to Jim to rebuild his mom's bar. Right. So he was smart enough to at least shove some of it in his clothes when he had the chance.
Yeah, they do get away from the planet by essentially another movie we did 1,000 years ago doing the Lost in Space thing.
Yes.
Go through the planet.
They do and Jim meanwhile is Chekhov's surfboard at last.
Yes.
Because he has to get to the
portal first to change it to the Moonville.
Moon Knight.
Montessor.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that I was confused on was what they're riding out on is a ship that's been hotwired by Ben that was in the pile of gold. I thought there was a bunch of gold in the hull of that ship.
There was a ship that John Silver was trying to ride off with, then he let it go to save Jim. I thought they were back on the main ship.
Yeah, they're back on Flint's ship, or at least the ship that had...
But the Flint ship in the treasure world had gold on it.
Yeah, because that was the one that Long John Silver was trying to fly off with, and he ditched. Then I thought they were back on the Legacy, or whatever the smallest ship was.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It's possible. I'm just saying that the end of this was a little muddled. But you're right. Long John Silver gives up his gold in order to get away and
run away.
I will say though, if there is there's a lot of mud in this movie. Like, it's muddled, it's confusing, it's not, but the end of this I think is pretty tight.
Yeah, ends with a Barry Lyndon dance. The captain and the doctor are married.
Well, and it's credit scene satire. Everyone else in the movie is here.
Barry Lyndon dance means you're dancing with your mom who looks like your sister.
Yes.
Yes. And there's candlelight everywhere. Romantic candlelight.
oh yeah. And Jim has joined the Naval Academy.
Yes. Literally, this is Captain Kirk in Star Trek. Whoever pointed that out was right.
Yeah, and then it ends. Long John Silver's gotten away because Jim lets him leave in one of the lifeboats on the Legacy.
Yeah.
And
With
Morph.
To Morph another day. And that's the end. Daniel, what's your thoughts?
I think it was a great idea. I think it's a beautiful movie to look at. I mean, the designs of the ships and the characters was beautiful. The execution, though... with this material, I think Muppet Treasure Island's the way to go. It could have been, you know, something that started with the basis of Treasure Island, and then you'd be like, oh yeah, that's... like that story, but the fact that we're so explicit about it just kind of ruined it. And I think this killed 2D animation at Disney for a while. So
I think what really did it was Princess and the Frog.
That was Princess and the Frog
made a lot of money after this. So much so that they're going to turn Splash Mountain into a Princess and the Frog movie.
Yeah. They're redoing that.
But, a movie ride, yeah.
In terms of this movie, best I can say, it's got some great ideas, but just some not good execution.
Matt? Time to be a heretic again. I liked it. I mean, I didn't like the space galleon thing. That was high school Matt's mistake 20 years ago. I'm not going to see it because the space galleon looks dumb. It's good. That design I didn't like much, but it's still a good movie. It's entertaining. I didn't think it was slow. And at least see it once and make up your own mind.
It's on Disney Plus, people.
Yeah, I mean, it's... if you're a Disney completist, you've already seen this. If you want to be one to see it, I just thought this movie had no motion, no anything. Like, I made notes, I took them, we've been talking about them. I couldn't tell you much about this. It's very pretty. I think this movie is one of the most beautiful Disney movies I've seen since Lion King? I think it looks better than Aladdin most of the time, and it does a better job of turning the hybrid between animation that's computer and hand better than Aladdin. But this movie itself is just a lot of wasted good ideas. It just Because the problem is, too, they can never make another Treasure Island movie. And this just doesn't feel like Treasure Island to me. It just... Treasure Island is such an easy classic. The plot is one direction. There's nothing here. Now, I don't like... I'm not hating on Matt here. You can like this movie. But to me, it's just... It's a warm bath. It's not a hot bath. It's not a bubble bath. There's nothing fancy here. It's just comfort food with some nice animation. Only one real song. I don't know. Just if you told me this was a rejected 20th Century Fox animated film, I'd believe you. But then over Easter, I watched The Prince of Egypt, and I was like, that fucking slams. That's a great movie. Just to me, this is reminds me of the time when Disney was down on everything. Shrek won for Best Picture instead of a Disney movie.
Film it did.
Fox, 20th Century Fox was doing better than Disney at this point. Everything that Disney was doing was worse than its competitors. And that's what this screams. Again, listen to Disremembered. This movie was passed around for years and years and years, and it was the only thing keeping directors on, and then it was a bomb. So it literally almost killed Disney Animation until Eisner left. Like, that's the actual historicity of this.
Yes.
But, like, to Matt's side, there's nothing wrong with this. It just feels like it was committed to death, maybe. And I think some of the art here that's good almost feels like it was snuck through. That's my review of this. However, we are out of time. And if you're listening to this now, if what's happening now is happening now, the next thing you're going to listen to is the thing that took that sweet, sweet Academy Award away. Because when they first made an Academy Award for Best Animated Picture, it went to a Scottish motherfucker who in the opening scene is taking a shit on its audience. So stay tuned next week and every future week when we remind you of how Mike Myers ruined his career. Let's go eat some pizza.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Sir Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.